of what Christmas means. We could even call it the scandal of Christmas, the thing that many people still today cannot believe, the incarnation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's start at verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Or as another translation puts it, "For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. What can a teenager accomplish when they have a goal or see a need? Lots. I still remember as a kid watching the Olympics, and Nadia Comaneci was 14 years old, and she got a perfect 10 for gymnastics. She won 3 gold medals. Laura Decker sailed around the world at age 14. Bobby Fischer was a chess master at 15. And Pelé won his first soccer championship at age 17. Louis Braille, who invented the Braille way of reading for the blind, he himself was blind, accomplished that task when he was 17. And Malai Yousafzai from Pakistan won the Nobel Prize because as a 17-year-old, she stood up for girls' rights against the Taliban. And finally, there was Jack Andraka, 16. At 16, he invented a device that can detect pancreatic cancer in its earliest stages. We could go on to talk about young people we know who have accomplished great things. Perhaps they weren't expecting to, but they did. They saw something, they saw a need, they acted on it. Well, today, we've already heard from Mary. Probably 13, perhaps even 12. But what occurred to her has had implications not only for her, but even us today. And so the first thing we want to notice as we look at this passage is that faith as evidenced by Mary, can be overwhelmed by God's tremendous grace. As our story begins, Mary's engaged. Now, girls in Palestine at this time were engaged at age 12 or 13. It's hard for us to imagine, but that was the case. And all the paperwork had been done. Joseph and Mary had gone before the elders in the gates. They'd signed papers, and Joseph had given compensation to Mary's parents because in a year after this engagement, he would take her home to be his wife. But until then, she stayed in her own home. and kept serving her family. So it was, suddenly, in a flash, while she was milking the goat or she was dusting with probably her fingernails broken and her hair in disarray, the angel came and stood before her. This was Gabriel. She didn't really know who he was, but this is the greatest of God's angels, the one who stands right next to God. And he was there in all his glory, and she was astonished. And yet her fear wasn't only caused by the brilliance of that angel, but immediately he greeted her. And it's her that greeting that puzzled her and confused her and perplexed her and scared her. "Greetings," he said, "you who are highly favored." Now, later on, Mary sings a song in this same chapter that tells us that she knew her Bible. And it tells us here that she did something she did quite often. She pondered. She said, "Now, an angel, a great angel has come to me, and he's got an admin that isn't his." Usually when an angel comes in the Bible, he's got a mission for the person he comes to, which is me. And then that highly favored thing got to her. When you're favored by God, it means that he's going to give you an opportunity or a gift that you don't deserve. And if you're highly favored, that's a sign that you are going to be given a very special, special opportunity, which you may or may not want, but it's going to be there for you. So Mary faces with great perplexity this whole business. But we should take a bit of an aside, because earlier translations of this passage have had the angel say to Mary, "Greetings, you who are full of grace." And there are still those who believe that Mary was really almost perfect, that she was so special and so close to God that she has a fountain of grace to give to others. Even this morning as I was flipping channels, there was a song about Mary and giving her glory because of who she is as someone who can get the ear of her son Jesus even today. But that's not really what the passage says. It says that she is no better than any of us. She was not sinless. She was not perfect. In fact, her biggest challenge would be to accept her son as her savior later on. And so for Mary, it was not a matter that she was more special than others. Living in a no-name town called Nazareth probably made you feel pretty unspecial, pretty ordinary. But for Mary, the challenge was to realize that God had favored her as he has us in other ways, so that imperfect as she was going to be called for a very, very special task. Now, we know what that task is, was. But we could say this. Even though none of us as women will ever be called to do what Mary did, and none of us will ever be called to do what Joseph did, each of us is uniquely wired by God with certain gifts and abilities and opportunities that no one else has. And so if it hasn't happened to you yet, it will happen that God will call you to a special role in life. It may be a teacher, it may be a farmer, it may be a first responder, it may be a lawyer. But God has uniquely gifted and will call you. And all of you will be called to special tasks. Perhaps to serve on a board, an irrigation board or a county fair board, where you have an opportunity to serve God in a special way. You may be called to be an elder or a deacon, or called upon to serve on some governor's commission. Whatever it is, others may see in you certain talents and abilities. You may see them in yourself. And when God comes calling, it may well feel a lot like Mary, who said, "You know, I'm not special. There are others who can do a far better job than me." But the question comes from God, "But there aren't others here. You are the one. Go for it." So Mary has this call, but she doesn't know what exactly it is. And so she needs to be prepared. Now, it's been said that we are, most of us are tugboats, not aircraft carriers or cruise ships. And I think when we think of Mary, we have to see a very ordinary daughter of David, way down the food chain in the royal accountings. And most of us would not say that we are aircraft carriers or cruise ships with tremendous power and independence crossing across the oceans. And yet, most of us are probably called to be tugboats, called to be available so that the big guns in our lives, the big stars, can function. Because these cruise ships and these aircraft carriers cannot function unless there's a tugboat at the front of the harbor to pull them in. And so without tugboats serving, nothing ever happens. The Africans have a proverb for those of us who may not feel very significant this morning, very special this morning. And it goes like this. If you think you are too small to make a difference, spend a night in a room with a mosquito. And you will know how big a little thing can annoy you. Well, whatever it means, however God calls, we notice next that Mary believes. Faith believes that impossibles are possible. And Mary has to believe several impossibilities. First of all is that startling message which Shannon captured so well. You, a great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter of David, and Joseph, a great-great-grandson of David, but living in obscurity in a no-name village called Nazareth off the interstate that everybody flew by. That's where God is now going to work. And Mary, you are going to be the mother of the Prince of Peace, the one who is going to save his people, and that's why his name is Jesus. But then there's that other puzzling term. He is going to be the Holy One. He is going to be the Perfect One. And that's going to happen because my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to overshadow Mary. And when he does so, that which is born in her womb will use her flesh and blood, but be connected with the eternal God forever and ever. Think of that a moment. In the Old Testament temple, there was those times when it was filled with the glory of God, and you couldn't even approach it. Well, the same thing is now going to happen to Mary. The glorious second person of the Trinity is going to enter her womb. And the Holy Spirit will so work that what is formed from her flesh and blood is the glorious, dazzling Son of God. That, my brothers and sisters, is the scandal of Christmas. That is what many will no longer believe. That the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, became one of us. That God took on our flesh and blood. And if you went to heaven today, you would see Jesus as his disciples saw him going to heaven with a human body. And if you can't believe that God became one of us, you really can't celebrate Christmas. There's no Christmas without Christ's incarnation. We can't celebrate a baby in a manger if we don't go back 9 months and realize the miracle that happened. Mary knew that. Mary had her questions. You know, I don't know a man. That's literally what it says when she said, I'm a virgin. In the original it says, I haven't been with a man. I haven't been intimate with anyone. How is this going to happen? And people still ask that today. In many Jewish circles, Jesus is still simply considered illegitimate. It couldn't be possible. And yet we read that again. That next slide. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called God. It seems to me that Mary knew the moment the angel spoke that this was going to happen sooner than later. And it was going to happen without Joseph. And now the angel laid that before her. And God lays that before us. Can we believe that you and I were so desperately in need of a Savior that God himself had to become one of us? That he had to be born like we're born? That he had to live the life we live, but live it perfectly? That he had to die the death that you and I deserved and could do that even though God abandoned him, but yet hold on to God? And can we believe that because he was the Son of God who conquered our sin, that indeed he arose again? And in fact, his Holy Spirit, who filled Mary in a special way, also fills us all. The moment we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. Now Mary gets a sign. She didn't ask for one. And we get it too. Look back. Look back, says the angel. 6 months ago, your 70-year-old aunt also conceived, not miraculously, and yet it was a sign that with God all things are possible. A couple childless, under disgrace, has a baby in their 70s. If God can do that, if God could give Hannah a child, if God could give 90-year-old Sarah a child to Abraham, if God has made so many promises and he's keeping them, then you too can grab hold onto that. What has God promised us for sure? It may seem impossible. It may have seemed impossible years ago that you could farm, that you could teach. Impossible that you could ever reach the level you've reached. Impossible that you would one day be part of this committee or that board or the council. And yet God was true to his promise to you to use you and use your abilities and your gifts. So what do? When God announces to you that because of the incarnation, the Holy Spirit can also work in you and through you. Well, what did Mary do? She believed. You notice she never doubted what the angel said. She just wanted to know how. She knew the what, not the how. And so what does she do? She responds with humble submission. Here I am, your servant. I don't feel special, but you've called me by grace. You've asked me to do what I don't have the credentials to do, but I'm going to do it because you called me to do it. And again, she's not just submitting to the fact that she's going to have the King of Kings, the one who will overcome every temptation, overcome every trial, overcome death, bring life. You know, she's not only going to bear that child, but she's going to need to believe that that child is indeed her King, her Savior. And so it is for us in this Christmas season. We are called again to embrace the fact that we too have been called. We too are favored by God, called to believe that He took His guilt upon us, that He took our place, and that He can now be with us, but also in us. God with us, God in us. And if that's still a struggle right now, if it's hard to believe that God should choose you, would want you, that has a purpose for you, realize that God came so close. He entered into our world, and if by His Spirit, don't you think that He also would come close to you and draw you to Himself? You know, sometimes we talk about Christ's conception as a concept, but it's a reality. And it's a reality that says that God wants to come so close to you that you can have a friend in Jesus. The very Son of God can walk and talk with you and with me as we go on through our lives, helping us do what we think is impossible because He says it's possible. Amen. We are going to again